I'm going to ask Chad to come and read our scripture today. We're in Philemon. You can turn there in your phones, Bibles.
All right, it's from Philemon. Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our beloved brother and fellow worker, and to Apphia, our sister, and to Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in your house. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always, making mention of you in my prayers, because I hear of your faith, of your love, and of the faith which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints. And I pray that the fellowship of your faith may become effective through the knowledge of every good thing which is in you for Christ's sake. For I have come to have much joy and comfort in your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you, brother. Therefore, though I have enough confidence in Christ to order you to do what is proper, yet for love's sake I rather appeal to you, since I am such a person as Christ, as Paul, the aged, and now also a prisoner of Christ Jesus. I appeal to you for my child, Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my imprisonment, who formerly was useless to you, but now is useful both to you and to me. I have sent him back to you in person, that is, sending my very heart, whom I wish to keep with me, so that on your behalf he might minister to me in my imprisonment for the gospel. But without your consent, I did not want to do anything, so that your goodness would not be in effect by compulsion, but of your own free will. For perhaps he was, for this reason, separated from you for a while, that you would have him back forever, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. If then you regard me a partner, accept him as you would me. But if he has wronged you in any way or owes you anything, charge that to my account. I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. I will repay it, not to mention to you that you owe to me even your own self as well. Yes, brother, let me benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Having confidence in your obedience, I write to you, since I know that you will do even more than what I say. At the same time, also prepare me a lodging, for I hope that through your prayers I will be given to you. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, greets you, as do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, Luke, my fellow workers. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit.
Thank you, Chad. So, I can't figure that sound out, so we'll have to just ignore it. I don't know where it's coming from. Just a buzz. Okay. I've shut everything else down that we can. Ah, mercy. You know, part of it today is just the reality of a really deep friendship. It started in an extraordinary way. When Enrico and I met, I was preaching over in the Philippines doing a conference. Somebody invited him to come, and he was a pastor. And at that time, you were what, 29, 20? You're how old? 19? Holy cow. Yeah, I guess so. So anyway, so he came, and I called up the pastors, and I was going to pray for him, and I laid hands on quite a few pastors, probably, I don't remember, I just remember the line was long. And Enrique was in that line. And later on he told me that when I laid hands on him, that's the first time he felt the love of a father. And his father was in this little village, and he was the town drunk and womanizer. And Enrico, how many, were you about the 10th child? 12th? Six and six, okay. So people made fun of Enrico and said he wouldn't amount to anything because of his dad and all that kind of stuff. And Enrico taught himself how to read, got himself saved, ended up going to school and getting the priest saved and other kids saved, and then start working with his brother in a church. And that's when he went to took all the sound equipment back to the room, and he would, as he took it back, he wanted to learn how to play it. Nobody wanted to teach him. He said he's too young, 9 years old. And the Lord taught him how to play what he does today. And so we met, and then the Lord spoke to him and just said, stick with John. And so he began to pursue me, and every year I come back. The next year I came back, I prophesied he'd get married, and the next year I prophesied, it just went on and on. And then we've just seen a lot of miracles. For him to get his citizenship over here was a massive miracle. He'd been blackballed. The lawyer that he hired screwed it up. And I went over there and didn't know how bad it was, but Enrico said, would you go to the commissioners with me, or I don't know what we called them. Is that what? Embassy. And found out that the lawyer had dropped the ball, and because of that, he was pretty much X'd from coming, and we met with them, or met with a lady, and I pleaded the case, and she said, I'll give it one more shot. And so we went to a restaurant. I think it was Bubba Gump's. Yeah. Funny the things you remember. Laid it out what to do, what to write, and everything. He and his wife did that all night long and got it back to him, and it was just a real miracle. They got to come to America. Another miracle for them to get their citizenship. They had to come out here to South Dakota to do that. Just so many things that we can talk about. One of the things I remember specifically was he was driving my son and I once over in the Philippines in between that time, and I crawled in the back of this little pickup to get some sleep, and we were driving. All of a sudden, I was bouncing up and down, and I looked, and we were on the sidewalk. Because a semi was passing another semi on the road, so Enrico had no place to go but the sidewalk. So a few chickens were flying and a few things were flying off. But anyway, we've lived through a lot of stuff that we shouldn't have. There's been a lot of, God has been really good. This book of, I want to just talk about the power of encouragement through relationship. And so Paul greets him, and Paul was a prisoner. He was in Rome. They estimate, I don't know, nobody knows for sure, but Paul here is probably getting in his mid-50s or something like that, maybe 50. He was in prison. They estimate, most people think Paul died around 60 years of age. Most historical accounts say that he was probably beheaded. He was a Roman citizen, so they wouldn't crucify him. But Rome had just burned down, and he died a little after that. Nero blamed the Christian for it. But anyway, you think about that. Again, nobody knows for sure, but he was almost, give or take, 3 years of being the same age as Jesus. He got saved probably in 33 years of age, miraculously. And then he spends about 14 years, in the desert. And so really it comes down to, if I do my math right, he might have only actually been on the road maybe 16 years or 20, but what all that he got done in those years. And all what it was done to him, you think about how many times he got whipped, 5 times, he was beaten with rods, 3 times. All those were incredibly miraculous healings for him to keep going. And now he's in prison. He's writing to his friend Philemon, who is in the Colossae. A leader there, probably call him a pastor, and he calls him beloved. And that, for Paul, he built some really strong relationships. Even though Paul was such a strong man, he built some really powerful, loving relationships. And he calls Philemon his a beloved brother and a fellow worker. And then he names his wife and his child, Apphia and Archippus. Most likely that was his wife and his son. So Philemon's son becomes a pastor. You read about him in other scriptures. And Paul encouraged him in another scripture about, man, stay faithful to the call of God in your life. Be diligent about it. So what a relationship they had. And then he greets them, and then he goes, grace and peace to you. And we all need that, don't we? We all need grace, and we all need peace. He goes on to say, I thank my God. And I think it's interesting that, there's so much in here, but just to say that there's something powerful about thanking God. It's not just that keeps our heart right. There's something, I believe, releases into the universe and changes things when we thank God. I think it's a ministry. It's a power. It's a release of the things of God. It's bringing the kingdom of heaven down here onto earth by thanking God. It's a powerful thing. And he says, I thank my God always of you, mentioning you in my prayers. because I hear. And so Paul had heard about Philemon's love and his faith, and it's like, man, we don't know sometimes when we walk in love, when we walk in faith, there are people that will talk about it as somebody else. We'd never know about that. But that message gets out, and Paul got the message back that the Philemon was a man of faith and a man of love. And he goes on to say in verse 6, which is one of my favorite verses in the Bible, says, I pray that the fellowship, the koinonia, the partnership, the joining together of your faith become effective. That means it goes to work through the knowledge. And I think a better translation there is through the acknowledgement of every good thing that is in you through for Christ's sake. Enrico mentioned this and is sharing with you. Acknowledging is one of the most powerful things we can do. Acknowledge the fact that you're in Christ. Acknowledge the fact that there are things freely given to you. Acknowledge that you've been saved. Acknowledge that you are powerful. Acknowledge that the Spirit of God is with you. Acknowledge that the angels are around you. Acknowledge these things. Bring notice to your own mind and then speak it out. And just say acknowledge these things, because it's easy to forget about them. It's easy to not know about it. Every good thing that is in you for Christ's sake. And for Christ's sake is in... I almost sound like a cuss there, didn't it? For Christ's sake means an awful lot. You know, if you come in before God and asking for blessings, but you've got a little guilt and you got a little shame and you got what we all have in our carnality, there's a hesitation sometimes to ask. And there's oh, Lord, can you please? And almost like, you know, when we went to your parents and begging them, you know, please, can we do this? But when we go before God and ask for things, I believe we need to remember, this is for Christ's sake. There are many times when I'm praying for something, I go, Lord, this is for your sake, not mine. You blessed me. I'm already a child of God. I'll live with you forever. That's my inheritance. I'm going to be a co-owner with you forever. But my time here on earth now is for your sake. I'm staying here on earth for your sake. It's better for me to go be in the presence of the Lord. Paul said that. He said, I really want to go home, but he said, I'm going to stay for your sake. He said, this has really been a struggle for me. And I think it's really important for each one of us that when we pray and ask for things, that we say, for Christ's sake, I am asking you for your sake to answer these prayers and to release the power of God. Well, this week we'll be negotiating, hopefully, pretty intensely with the insurance company. Their number is a lot lower than our number. I acknowledge that we have favor. You acknowledge that we walk in favor. What? For Christ's sake. You know, if it comes up, I'll just say, you know, I'm not building this building for me. This one's smaller. It's easier to vacuum than that one will be. But for the sake of many children to yet to come in our lifetime and after I'm gone, I'm asking for favor. I'm asking for your wisdom. And I think that's important for all of us. He goes on and says, for I've come to have much joy and comfort in love, in your love, because of the hearts of those saints that have been refreshed by you. Man, Paul said, I'm in prison, but I'm comforted that, man, Philemon, because of what you're doing, your love and your faith and your service to people, it's encouraging me. You know, I was just talking to somebody this last week that was in the federal government for 30 years, high up in intelligence. They finally retired, and they're grateful. They said a lot of things are changing, as you've noticed, they've noticed. There's a lot of things changing. Yeah, but I said, and of course, you know, if you've been high in intelligence, you don't get to talk a lot. And I hesitate sometimes to ask some of these people questions because I know they want to tell me. Sometimes, you know, the old saying, if I tell you, I have to kill you. But it was said that for the last 20 years, whatever, the jobs was to be sent to different groups in the federal government. You know, there's a lot of stuff goes on. And the job was to go and to encourage that group because they're downcast and discouraged. Isn't that interesting? I mean, we got a lot of stuff, crap in our government, but we got a lot of good people. Don't forget that. There's a lot of people. It is a government of us, and there's a lot of good people involved. Don't believe all the bad reports only. There's a lot of good people that are rooting for us that love this country. And so part of this for 20 years was sent just to encourage groups. And you think about that. One of the things that a lot of these guys, you know, get trained in special ops and different things. But one of the things that discourages us is when we don't feel like we got a purpose. And for a lot of people, they get trained for something, but they never get to use it because it's never called upon. You know, we're prepared for nuclear attack. We're prepared for chemical attack, and we haven't had one. And so all the groups that have been diligent to, you know, to go through extensive training, some of it's brutal, but then they just sit around and wait. They never get it. It's like becoming a fireman but never having a fire. You can lose hope. You can lose encouragement. And I just thought, wow, how awesome to find out that there were people that our government ascribed the job to them is go and encourage them. By the way, this person's in the ministry now and doing the same thing, only now for Christ's sake. But we all need encouragement, amen? We all need it. And part of that encouragement, there's a power in relationships for you and I to be encouraged by the relationships that we have. Don't take lightly the people that you know and the people that are around you. Acknowledge how precious they are. And Paul, by doing this, he acknowledged that. He said, man, you refresh me. And you know, and by doing that, it just increases it for us. He goes on to say, therefore, though I have enough confidence in Christ to order you to do something that's right. And this word confidence is the same word when we go before the throne. It's to be speaking freely and boldly. Paul is saying, man, you're a close enough brother to me. I'm not walking on ice. I'm not walking on thin ice. Philemon, and you're a dear, dear brother to me. And I have the boldness that I could actually be, because Philemon was saved underneath Paul and trained underneath Paul. But he said, I'm not going to be bold with you that way. I just know your heart. I'm appealing to you, and I want to ask you. He said, I'm old now. You know, to get to 60 at that time was a pretty old age. In fact, gone through whatever thing he'd gone through. He said, I'm aged. I mean, I'm a prisoner. But he says, I'm asking, I'm appealing to you for this child, Onesimus. And so it sounds like this guy was a slave to Philemon or that kind of a relationship with him. And then he sent him to Paul for some reason. And Paul said, you know, he used to be useless. And now he's fruitful. This man had a real transformation. This slave became saved, and Paul trained him up, and then he ministered to Paul. And Paul's literally saying to him, I'd like to keep him. He's a real encouragement. He really helps me, but he said, I'm sending him back to you because he belongs to you. But I'm appealing to you to honor him and respect the transformation that took place in his life. That's pretty cool thinking. You know, we're not in that culture, but it's pretty cool to think about all that. He said, I won't do it without your consent. He said, and I know you would do it if I demanded, but I want you to do it not under compulsion, but on your own free will. That's pretty cool, too. Man, there's so many of our relationships. You know, we can say somebody owes us or we owe them, but the truth is, you know, nobody owes anybody anything. We just choose to love one another. But value the relationships. He goes on and, you know, he said, I pray that you'd accept him as if he was me. And by the way, if he owes you anything, I'll pay it. But even though you, Philemon, owe me. Paul's a pretty straightforward guy, by the way. If you didn't ever pick that up by his writings, he's pretty straightforward. And he says, so he goes on and he says, having confidence in your obedience, I write to you, since I know that you will do even more than what I say. At the same time, preparing for me lodging, for I hope that through your prayers I will be given to you. I have a friend, and he just always say, man, thank God, you know, thank you, John, for your prayers. And he does it to everybody else. Thank you for prayers and this and all that. And once in a while, I want to just say, you know, just give God the glory. You know, at the same time, I've got to admit, there's times that the Bible is very clear that through the prayers of people, victory was won. there's times that whatever reason, and part of that, I think, is the beautifulness of God saying, I want you guys to be one. I want you to get along with each other. I want you to have a relationship. God wants you and I and the people we know. He honors those relationships. It's very important to him. We're so cranked about things and all that, but he's cranked more about relationship. He did this whole thing, created man for the whole thing of relationships, not just him with us, but with for each of us. Jesus prayed this, that you and I could become one. Don't take it lightly how powerful that is, how wonderful that is, and how contrary that is to the human nature. And so he says, you know, and Paul was expecting to be released to him, and et cetera. And then he goes on and he just says, you know, there's other prisoners here with me, and I could go down that list and share with you a little bit of history on both all of them, but I'll just mention a couple now. He says, Mark's here. He's greets you. Well, that was John Mark. That was a young man that failed Paul, and Paul got real bitter with him, kicked him out. He and Barnabas had a fist fight over Mark. Yeah, they were traveling. John Mark joined him. John Mark probably wasn't doing his carrying his weight, and Paul and Barnabas got in a fight. And I think literally in the Greek, it sounds like they got into a fist fight. That'll kind of blow your theology sometimes. But anyway, then John Mark repented and got strong, and here he is at the end. Paul is saying, man, Mark is a dear, dear friend. He's really become a faithful brother. And you know, there is transformation in people's lives that take place. Hallelujah. And then Demas, you know, he's the one that later on walked away from the Lord. Paul had his disappointments there. Paul writes in other letters later on that Demas has left the faith and has become an enemy. And, of course, Luke is his, you know, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Just want to say that relationships, don't take it lightly. What God networks, don't take it lightly. Don't just assume you just happen to be in Sturgis, you were here by purpose. And I think about all of our relationship, Enrico, you know, because as the Lord told him to kind of hook up with me and pursue me, I was also pushing him away because I don't want to get to where I'm trying to get every Filipino to America. But Grace is the one that got it done because she was saying, I want to see my brothers. I haven't seen them for 16 years. And I go, oh, dear God, I'll do something. I didn't know what the Lord had told him. I don't think he knew what the Lord told him. I mean, how much is important. We didn't know.
Told me that time before I approach you. That man that's speaking in the front of the conference is the man that I'll be using for you to be in America. Then I asked the Lord, how will that be for? I'm just an attendee here, but I will do it my way. You just watch. Just keep pursuing him and approaching him. He even told me that, okay, approach him, he's going down from the hotel. Wait for him to pass by that pathway and you will talk to him. I said, okay, I'll go.
He was a setup. Isn't that wonderful? Why is it so wonderful? But because it means for your life and my life, he's working all the time. He'll give a slight instruction, but most of the time, I didn't know. You know, I didn't know. You know, and I remember when the first time I came to America, I just wanted his family to be with family. And he called me up and said, I'm going to come see you. I said, don't come see me. That's not the purpose of this trip because, you know, he only had a few weeks. I said, you stay there with your family. We'll see each other in the Philippines, you know. And then he calls me up. He says, I'm flying in tomorrow. He's been that way all the time. I said, flying in tomorrow? Where? He says, Pier. What? Pier. I said, that's not even close. Well, my sister booked it for me. Boy, he got it chewing out all the way from Pier to South Dakota, back here. And not harsh, but I'm just saying, we had no idea all that God had planned. You have no idea all that God has planned for you. And even with your stubbornness like mine and all that, he will still get us through. I didn't understand the plan. I didn't know the plan. I didn't see the plan, and at the same time, I didn't fail because God is the one orchestrating our steps. We worry so much about our own personal failure, like we'll miss it or something. Like, man, we already missed it. That's why we got saved. He loves us. He's orchestrating our steps. Just believe it. But acknowledge it. It becomes more effective. Pray one for another. It becomes more effective. Do the things that he's trained us to do. But overall, he is Lord, and he's seen us through. He's got a masterful plan, and it is a beautiful plan. And the people that we've been networked with are important, and there's more to come. There's more people that are going to come into your life. Don't underestimate what the Lord might be doing. You don't have to figure it all out. You don't have to know. But don't dismiss that the people you're meeting, that you don't have something important to do in their life or them with you. Lift up your heads and say, man, it's an exciting path. We've had a great history. We'll have a great future, but there's more to come. There's more people coming in our life. Respect that, honor that, and then pray. It's a great life. Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for Enrico and his family and Grace and Enrich and Henry, and I thank you that all that you did, and now we look forward to the future, and we know it's even better than what our past was. We're headed into the glorious days. You're filling this earth with your glory, and we're a major part of it. And we just thank you, and we acknowledge that and trust you, and we pray one for another right here in this room. We all need encouragement. We all need comfort. And for Christ's sake, we thank you that grace and peace are ours, and the power of God's working and manifesting in us, helping us overcome the battles and the challenges. But we love one another, and we acknowledge that. We're bold to say we really do love and appreciate each other. And we make room in our hearts now for some new relationships that are coming, because it's not over yet. And for thy name's sake, we press on. To you be the glory. Amen. Amen. All right, have a great week. Pray.